Morning all, it is Thursday, March 30. This is the Big Sports Breakfast on Sky Sports Radio. And tonight we've got the Roosters up against Parramatta at Allianz Stadium to kick off round 5 in the NRL. In the AFL, it's the Western Bulldogs up against the Brisbane Lions. All those fields are out and can be bet on the Tab app and the Tab website for day 1 of the championships. And it is some card there on Saturday. It looks like pretty good weather the next couple of days, so maybe by Saturday around lunchtime we'll get into the good range as far as the surface is concerned. But for the next hour, we're going to preview round 5 and look at all things in the NRL this week. And she's back in the studio. She brushed us last week. Yvonne Sanson from Fox League. Morning.
Good morning. Thank you for letting me back in the building. Sorry I missed last week. I was doing a very special shoot for Fox League. Do you remember the wonderful Ken Arthurson? Yeah, so sure we're lucky enough to go and do a nice morning shoot. 93 years old, wow. He still swims in the ocean every single day. He looks a million bucks. Just a fascinating man to talk to. He's like a living rugby league artifact. Yeah. He knows everyone. He's been there and seen it all, and just an incredible life. When you put it into perspective, rugby league's been around in Australia for what, over 100 years, 115 years? Arco's been there for most of it. And in 51, he was the halfback for Manly in the grand final, kicking off to South Sydney. Clive Churchill was the fullback. Like, astonishing.
History,
wow. And he's as sharp and he's a true gentleman. So, yeah, sorry I missed you, but I chose Ken Arthurson over you.
How's he going, Arco? Because we know he lost his beautiful wife recently. Is he going okay?
Yeah, he is. Yeah, he's obviously heartbroken, but he's got a wonderful crew, a lovely support around him on the Gold Coast. He's been there for many, many years now, 20, 30 years. So, yeah, it was lovely to see him in such good health, actually.
Yeah.
Opening month, how good's it been?
The best.
It's been awesome.
The most competitive, the closest games. We had another golden point showdown. I just think for some reason this NRL Premiership has become hyper-competitive and completely engaging. The scorelines are closer than ever. Pound for pound, the positions are very well matched. I've loved it. I think it's been the best opening month that we've had for a long, long time. Loved it.
What about the biggest storyline this week? Joseph Swali'i
announcing
that he's going to rugby union. Where do you stand on him signing, firstly, the fact that he's still got 2 years to go on his contract, Gus saying that we should move him on now, are you for him playing Origin this year? What's your take on the whole situation?
Look, rugby can offer something that we as leagueies cannot, and that's the World Cup. And like it or not, that's a prestigious draw card. We can't offer something that really compares to the Rugby World Cup. That's coming up. I think that the NRL, truly, around the world, is probably the most combative game that we have on earth. And we're so proud of it. We're very passionate about it. But I'm not going to stand in the way of a young talent who has a wonderful offer on the table. He's been paid on potential. What is it? Yeah. He's already a millionaire. He's 19 years old. And anyone who says, oh, he shouldn't have taken, you're kidding yourselves. Everyone would have taken that.
$1.6 million.
Yes.
That's a lot of money per season.
But all these people who want to punish him for it.
But why?
You can't pick him Origin. Tell him to leave straight away.
But why punish the boy?
The Code Wars thing bores me, Vonnie. I think it's just crap. I can't stand it. I grew up playing both sports. I played more union than league, but fell in love with rugby league first. I mean, this sport, it feels like just to kick rugby. Like, can't we just embrace the fact in Australia we've got 4 footy codes?
He's not the first player to ever go to rugby.
That's right, Clarky.
I don't think it was that big a thing when we lost Wendell Saylor, Lottie, Rogers. When they went, and that was brilliant for rugby. But I can't ever remember us kicking up a stink like this.
No, and I think it's a really good point. We've got to play the code, not the guy, not the boy, right? So just if he is a young athlete, he is marketable. He wants to play in a Rugby World Cup. The British Lions are coming out. He played rugby growing up. He's entitled to take an offer on the table.
As I said this morning, Vonnie, I don't understand why we're all acting like we're surprised. Isn't this exactly why he went to the Roosters and not South, because South didn't want to accept the clause in the contract that if he wants to go back to rugby, not go to rugby, go back to rugby, because that's where he was at school, then he wanted that option as a young athlete. Like, I don't know why we're surprised.
Yeah, I think Trent Robinson was so clear yesterday. He said, look, just everyone just calm down, yeah, relax. He's a Rooster for now. Let's enjoy him while we've got him. Yes, he's going to go off and play rugby in the next couple of years. He's far from a finished product. But I wish him all the best. Let him go with our blessing. Like, but then we'll be here when you want to come back. He's a modern athlete.
Yeah,
he's super attractive for any code. Let him go. What's the problem?
We're all so angry.
Well, we've seen leagues go to every sport. Like, what about the boys that went to AFL as well? Like, did we hate on the AFL? Carmichael Hunt, Folau. Like, did we hate on the AFL for that?
It's always going to happen. People, if they're so talented, will always cross over and be a success at other sports. I think you just got to be confident in your own product, that you can hold yourself against any other competition. And definitely, I think rugby league has shown that for a long period of time. So I think we will continue to produce the best athletes, but there'll definitely be a demand for those athletes because of the market here in Australia, because we are so competitive in the football codes.
No individual is bigger than the sport. Like, that's the one thing I've always said. If Sir Donald Bradman can walk away from cricket and cricket still survive and Australian cricket still be successful, mate, no one's that big. Life goes on. It's rugby league's got a million freaks. We talk about them every single day on this show, that there's so many superstars in this sport. I think if this young kid's got the option and wants to do it, then celebrate it. He'll be back your code.
Do you remember 20 years ago, the big marketing push was, I want to be a wallaby? Probably even more. Remember every young boy, every young little girl, all wanted to be a wallaby, and all of that's faded away. And you need to recruit people like Joseph Swali'i, who can restore the attractiveness and you know, make the wallabies aspirational again. I'm all for it.
Is that why the West Tigers are chasing Mitchell Pearce?
Oh, God, what about that?
Did that shock you?
Yeah. I know, Pearce is... He's gone over there and he's made the best of it, and he's actually really enjoyed his life. And it would be a beautiful life in the south of France. And he's enjoyed all the perks that go along with it. I think it's been well timed for him as a man, you know, to get away, get out of Australia, get out of Sydney.
He'd be fluent in French by now,
Oh yeah, bonjour.
He wouldn't know too many words, Rich, over there, I wouldn't have thought. He'd know the right ones to use.
Mitch, he's been in strife and he's been maligned.
Would he want to come back into the spotlight?
Of course he wants to come back.
You reckon
he does.
Sorry.
And have that pressure on him. Yeah.
Tied a long time, aren't you, Loz?
Oh, yeah, no doubt. But being over there, away from it all, earning good wage, it's not a tough competition compared to the NRL. He might have an opportunity to further himself after football as well. It might be something that the Tigers are offering him. But I just think with Mitch, he's been such a wonderful player. He's moved on. Coming back and having that pressure put on him, whether he wants to do that again.
But at least he'll know either way. Do you know
how old's Benji?
Benji would be 35.
So Mitch is 34. Benji's more chance of playing halfback for the Tigers than Mitch. Why wouldn't Benji just do it? Seriously, if they're similar age, Benji's been out of the NRL less than Mitch. It sounds like he's playing number 7 or number 6 at training anyway. He knows their plays. He's running them.
38, Benji.
Okay, 4 years older. Get Benji back.
Yeah. But what does that say, though, about Luke Brooks?
Well, what needs to happen? Something needs to change. Do you then say to Luke, mate, we really appreciate everything. You need a change. We need a change. Here's what we've come up with.
Because it certainly says that they've identified halfback being a concern for them. Yeah. And we haven't got a halfback that's a controlling halfback. And most people thought that wasn't Luke Brooks' strength.
Brooks's communication's so poor and it just hasn't improved. He's really quiet out there and that's just not his natural go. I'm sure he's worked on it. But if you are sitting sideline at a West Tigers game, he's, you cannot hear anything. And and you do see that disorganisation because no one's sure what they're doing. So then you really need that controlling voice out there, and that's where others kind of jump in. And we all blame Benji for overstepping the mark when he was with Brooksy in the halves. I said, Benji, you know, you're hogging the ball. You're not. And then we blamed Robbie Farris. And, mate, you've got to step away. Let Luke Brooks run this team. But I think, unfortunately for Brooksy, he's just not that big communicator. He's not that big booming voice. And so, yeah, and unfortunately, the Tigers need someone out there showing them what to do, where to go, when.
Okay, the grand final and its possible venue this year. Just a couple of texts from earlier. Absolute joke, the worker man game. That's what rugby league always has been. These idiots want to take away from Sydney, so all young kids can't afford to go to watch grand finals in Melbourne and Brisbane. If it leaves Sydney, rugby league's dead. It almost is anyway. You guys are kidding if you think it's good. if it's... I'm not sure. Play Penrith and South in Brisbane again. What a joke, killing the game. That's as good as I can decipher that message. But also, they missed the opportunity to keep the game here by not making Allianz a bit bigger, say 50 to 55,000. They pulled that stadium down, pretty much put up the same thing with colourful seats and cheeseburger spring rolls, says Jesse from the Illawarra, sending that one through. But I get the sense this is going to happen, Vonnie. The money is too big. And I think Peter Volandis and the ARL Commission are on the verge of doing this. I think it will happen.
Well, I mean, it's big business, right? And it's big money. Our brand new Premier, Chris Minns, is going to have to get across it pretty quickly. I know he's been pretty stern on saying, I'm not going to waste money on this sort of stuff. There's obviously other priorities for the state of New South Wales. But unfortunately, it looks like the NRL Grand Final is up for grabs. And Queensland would be an amazing and very attractive venue. And we know how proud they were to host State of Origin in the middle of that chaos up in Townsville. But, I mean, Suncorp Stadium's tailor-made for a grand final. It just all depends. Like, if you've got two Sydney teams, you know, how does that work? I mean, the 2015 grand final, we had the Cowboys and the Broncos at ANZ Stadium, or Coors Stadium now. And it was phenomenal. Mm. And everyone said, oh, no, there's going to be no atmosphere because it's two out-of-town teams. And it was off its head good. So I just, yeah, look, the NRL is a commodity. It's a big business. And unfortunately, our showpieces are up for grabs. Same with State of Origin. That travels around. It's a roadshow now.
Yeah, I think you will get used to it once it starts to become normal. You know, if they're taking it every year to different stadiums. But I don't know about the MCG having the grand final.
Oh, it's tough. It's a tough watch. Yeah. And I love the history. And, and same with the SCG. I love all the beautiful romance that goes along with it. But just that, if we're being completely honest, watching it, it sucks.
Yeah, it's not a good, it's not a good watch. It's not a good watch.
Jack Whiten. Big story with the Raiders this week. What are your feelings as far as Jack? Will he stay or go? Obviously, it'll come down to a lot of numbers, length of contract as well. But I just get the sense, by putting himself on the market, he will end up gone because the dollars will be large and maybe, you know, it changes what he's after. After what, 14
statement.
Years in the nation's capital?
Yeah, big statement. Yeah, as you mentioned, Jack's putting himself up for sale for the first time in 14 years. And you'd have to say Jackie Boy's had some indiscretions in the past and the club's been amazing. And this was a long time ago. But, you know, Ricky really put his arm around him during that time and stood by him. And he has repaid the faith. Does he have to stay loyal to them forever now? I don't know. And Jackie obviously doesn't feel like he does. But this could be the richest contract of his career. He wants an upgrade on the 900,000 that he's on at the moment. So who would be looking at a Jack Whiten? Obviously, the Dolphins are still after their marquee man. He could be a great fit for them in the halves. The West Tigers we're just talking about, they seem to have a treasure chest at their disposal and throw plenty of dollar signs anyone's way. The Eels are an interesting proposition. Very interesting timing, don't you think, in the same week that they said to Clint Gutherson, hey, listen, just so you know, we're looking at other options. Could Jack jump, not in fullback, or could he could do fullback, could Jack join Parramatta's backline?
I don't think they'd have the money. They would have the money.
Moses and Dylan Brown are there.
Well, Moses is on over a million bucks. And Dylan Brown let me tell you, would be close to $1 million.
Yeah, a lot.
Yeah,
for sure. And
then you've got Gutho, who's probably on 800,000 at least. Then you've got Junior Paolo, Regan Campbell-Gillard. They wouldn't have the money.
Yeah, Sean Lane would be up for an upgrade.
They wouldn't have the money, I don't think.
What about the Knights with a big question mark over Kalyn Ponga?
Possibility. Very much so. The Dolphins, obviously.
Dolphins.
Is everyone's talking about because of the war chest that they've got. But then we spoke about this morning. I think Sean O'Sullivan is one of the most improved players in the game. And him as an organising halfback is just what they needed, you know. And they've got young Katoa there as the 5'8", who they've invested in. And
going to be a star.
He's going to be a really good player. So where does Jack fit in that system?
But Jack would be the marquee bloke that they've probably been waiting for.
Wayne Bennett wanted Queenslanders. He told us he wanted Queenslanders.
He couldn't get one. Mm. He could. Cameron Munster was there. He was across the line.
They made up yet? No. You hosted, you were telling us, Fonny, the Battle of Brisbane launch, the Courier Mail launch last Thursday.
Yes.
What point during the week were you told, that Wayne wasn't going to turn up?
Oh, look, my gut feeling knew that Wayne... look, an exclusive lunch at Gambaro's on Caxton Street is not Wayne's go. Yeah. So I didn't have any hope that we would see the great Wayne Bennett. Kevy showed up, and Kevy's magnificent. Yeah. He gets there and, he tells all these stories and, he's quite serious about how the Broncos are going. He's very proud of how they've begun this year. Wayne was the longest shot to show up for that one. So, yeah, I didn't even bother doing questions for Wayne. I prepped for Christian Wolf, and Christian was sensational. And the coaches did their presses out the front of the lunch, and then they came inside and gave the audience a really great insight into what's going on with their perspective clubs and just helping build. We wanted to just acknowledge that this was the first of what will be a lifetime of, the Battle of Brisbane and for everyone to say that they were there at the first one. And I've got to say that sometimes in rugby league we get a little swept up in the hyperbole and the hype and but that game delivered. Like, it wasn't statistically one of the best games. There were plenty of errors, but in terms of atmosphere, that was one of the best things ever.
Did anyone think they would make the impact that they have, the Dolphins?
No. I asked Christian, I said, be honest, you're a straight shooting Mount Isa bloke. Tell us, did you think you'd be 3-0? And he said, not really. No. To be perfectly honest with you, I think they've exceeded any of their expectations. They should be so proud. But depth is now obviously a bit of an issue. They're picking up key injuries.
Yeah, that'll be tested. Yeah.
Felisa's still suspended. So, yeah, it'll be tough for the Dolphins. But I think they've been magnificent to start the year.
Many texts here. Someone's written, preview the matches, you fools, 5 times. So I guess we better.
Not wrong. Take the tip.
And another, Nelly has said, Vonnie, you'll like this. Whiten's been making inquiries about property in Palmwoods for his move to the Dolphins, says Nelly on the text line.
The magnificent country town of Palmwoods. I grew up in Palmwoods. Just right near Nambour on the Sunshine Coast hinterland. I lived in Palmwoods until I was 30 years old and I chanced my hand at the Big Smoke down in Sydney.
Ooh,
but
the Big Smoke.
The Big Smoke.
Look at you now.
I love Palmwoods. It's the best.
Okay, let's start tonight. Thursday night footy, cracker game. Parramatta playing another team off a bye. It's the Roosters, Allianz Stadium with Tab. The Roosters, $1.55, -4.5 at the line. Parramatta, $2.45. What a win it was last week in extra time, Vonnie. And Drew Hutchison into the starting side. Joey Manu suspended for the Roosters. Junior Paolo suspended. That's a big loss for them.
Monstrous loss for the Eels. And I think without him punching through the middle, it really leaves Parra just that little bit skinny because I'm not sure how much trust Brad Arthur has in his bench because Junior's been playing major minutes. So I just don't know if the way BA has gone to his bench or hasn't gone to his bench really says how much he can rely on them. Roosters are fresh off a bye. Trent Robinson said that they've got lots of work to do and they really have needed to improve in those opening 3 rounds. Robbo wouldn't elaborate on what that work was. He said that we're going to keep that in-house, but I think you can understand the Roosters are a little bit slow to start the year and that doesn't really bother them. Without Junior Bailo, I think that Victor Radley, Jared Rea-Hargreaves, Lindsay Collins, Brandon Smith, who's been really worked over the last little bit, but he's been able to put in some minutes now. His body's not aching in every joint. I think the Roosters are going to kick the front door down here. This is the Jack Gibson Cup, and so I had a quick look at my favourite Jack Gibson quotes. Simplicity wins matches, complexity loses them, Loz. I like this one. This still rings true to this very day. You can't be a mug all week and not be a mug at weekend football. That's actually so true, right? We want them to put a different head on the weekend as the one that they run during the week, Monday to Friday.
Talking of Jack Gibson's quotes, I remember first time I got coached by Jack is in an Origin team, and you're sitting there and you're listening to him talk, and then we said, Jack, what market offence are we going to play? And his words were, just stand in front of them before they play the ball. That was the advice for market offence.
Yeah, that'll do. The great Jack Gibson at the glorious Allianz Stadium. I'm going to tip the Roosters here. I think they're probably... I know the Eels were sensational last week. I think the Roosters are probably just a bit fresher.
Yeah, the Roosters have won six of their past eight games against the Eels. I think Junior Paolo out is a big blow for the Eels. Could have had some momentum building after last week's performance. But I'm a bit like Vonnie. I think that the Roosters forwards with Collins and Wira Hargreaves, I think they'll be sort of licking their lips and wanting to charge through the front door here. Still not the strongest side the Roosters can put out. You know, there's some weaknesses there, but they've still got Tedesco. And for me, Tedesco's, you know, in the top three best players in the game. And I think he could be the difference in this game tonight. I don't think they win by much, the Roosters, but I think they just get the job done and move on to next week.
Pup?
Roosters.
Roosters, Joseph Swalehi, 2+ tries. Same game multi for you there. 6 o'clock, GIO Stadium tomorrow night. Canberra, $3.90. 12.5-point outsiders at the line with Tab. Penrith, $1.26. Vonnie.
There's always a bit of heat on between these two when they play. There's so much niggle. I mean, if you just go back to Canberra boss Don Ferner, and he said the Panthers are carrying on like mug lairs after they won that 21 premiership, and there was a fair bit of hollering and hooping going on. And then it flared up majorly last year, everyone will remember, when Ricky called out Jamin Salmon and called him a weak gutted dog in the presser last year. So everyone's moved on. It's all right, but no one's forgotten. Let's be honest. No one's forgotten about it. So, look, I've tipped the Panthers. I think the Panthers' backline is just jaw-dropping because Panthers have so many superstars. They've got these marquee blokes and, let's be honest, just a couple of showboats who don't mind the spotlight. Mm. But if you're looking for a guy who's consistently been at the top of his position in production, his feet never stop moving, he bust tackles, he's as well as saving them, Dylan Edwards just... He's not interested in competing for stardom at the Panthers. It's not really his go, but he's unfairly, I think, sometimes not at the top of the fullback food chain when we're talking about number ones in the game. If you have a look at some of his numbers, everyone's so obsessed with Tedesco and Latrell and Trebojevic and Pappenhausen and Gutho and Reece Walsh. And last week, Dylan Edwards had 236 metres. Now, Taruva, who you can't miss either, he's super busy. 263 metres. Brian To'o, 191. Otago, 176. Those are monstrous numbers for a backline. So they are busy. They are capable also of cutting Canberra to shreds. So with no Jack Whiten, I think that, you look, Frawley and Fogarty offer a really sensible 6 and 7 options, but the Panthers have just got too much strike. And the good friend of the BSB, Jared Croker, potentially could be back. He's been named on the extended bench. He only had one game last year, so let's hope we see a little bit more of Jared.
Yeah, I'd like to see Jared get a start this week. They do welcome back Rapana. So that's a good inclusion for the Raiders. Seb Crisp at the back for the Raiders has been good, but I still think he's better suited in the centres. You're right with Dylan Edwards. He's just the ultimate team player. Whatever's required, he does. No Jack. Oh, look, it's hard to tip against Penrith, isn't it? You just think that Penrith, with that back line they have, their forward pack, get through plenty of work. Look, it hurts me to say, tip against the Raiders, but I have to. On this occasion,
I don't think Panthers for me.
Panthers all round. Cracking game Friday night. South's $1.55. The Melbourne Storm $2.45. 4.5 is your line here with Tab. South's the minus. Bonnie, what are we doing here?
Oh, I've gone Souths. I thought it was a really important game last week to honour the memory of John Sattler, and they did that beautifully in South Sydney, do history better than anyone else in the NRL. But what I really liked was seeing the very well-timed and deliberate emergence of a considered and sound halfback in Lachlan Ilias. And we spoke to Cody Walker about the responsibility he takes on his shoulders to make sure that his seven is coming through at the right time and gets his opportunities. And I liked how they were able to adjust. Like, Latrell Mitchell had a stab at the field goal, didn't work. They were able to have a plan B and execute it quite well. So I think it's setting Lachlan Ilias up for a great future. He seems really flexible and willing to be part of whatever Souths are building there. Melbourne is still a little off their best. The care factor was there that Bellamy has been wanting to see. But I think they're yet to really declare themselves in this season. Cameron Munster measures up well with Cody Walker. I like that. Ilias and Jonah Pezzett, that's a great matchup as well.
I tell you, Jonah Pezzett, a limited sample.
Mm. Good.
I think he's got a massive, massive future.
Yeah.
I know he had the raps as a schoolboy and coming through, but watching him the last couple of games, I think if you're looking for a halfback, a club is looking for a halfback, he is the one, because he's not going to be the halfback there with Jerome Hughes, but he is someone that could be a 10-year player at your club.
Completely agree. He was super eye-catching at, was it the under-20s State yes. of Origin last year for New South Wales? Big raps and comes with all that potential. I think the difference here will be the forwards. Cook, Murray, Kaloa Matangi, Burgess. I think they've just got the edge over Melbourne's pack, who are still without Nelson Asifa-Solomona. So big nasty, still nowhere for the Storm, and I think that's a huge out.
Yeah,
so.
He's a big loss for them, isn't he?
So Bunny
just
for
gives
me.
Them, just gives them that good go forward. I'm with the Bunnies. I think they've got more points in them than Melbourne. The thing that I get concerned about sometimes with South is they're doing it too easy. Like, sometimes they just go with the flow and then they go, oh, it'll be right. We'll just switch on. And when we need to switch on, we'll be able to get the points. So they've got to get rid of that attitude. And that's the way it seems to me from the outside looking in. And if they start with a good intensity, high intensity, front load their energy and try and hold that as long as they possibly can, I think they can challenge for the comp. But they just come in and out of games, and for me, that's what will get them in trouble in big games. But I'm pretty confident they can win this game.
But Bunnies. South's all round, and Jonah Pezzett under contract until the end of 2025. Jerome Hughes, the end of 2026 there at the Melbourne Storm. So interesting going forward there.
But he's not going to stay there once he gets a taste of first grade, which he has done.
Melbourne haven't got a history of releasing players, though.
Yeah, they might not, but, you know, there's always someone that you can have a conversation with that might be able to persuade you to release a certain player.
Okay, the match at 3 o'clock on Saturday afternoon is at, is it a Brookvale?
I haven't Mudgee.
Checked the venue. It's a Mudgee. Yes,
yes, okay, Glen Willow Oval. Beautiful Mudgee.
I had a feeling it was somewhere else. Thank you for that, Bonnie. On April Fool's Day. And the market with Tab has Manly $1.20, Newcastle $4.50, 13.5 is your line. Newcastle, the plus, should be a big crowd there at Mudgee.
Oh, Manly arrive in Mudgee today, actually. They've got some junior clinics and they'll be giving away prizes, and they've got all sort of pop-ups happening right through Mudgee. If anyone loves their rugby league, and of course they've got the racing on at Mudgee Racetrack on the Sunday, and if you don't mind beautiful wines, footy, racing and wine, get out. This is has to be one of the great road trips that you've
it
got
is, isn't it?
In the
yeah.
game.
And you're not talking Fruity Lexia.
No. This isn't even out of a cardboard box. This is bottles. I think, you know, fans do it really well, but if you're going to make the effort, get out to Mudgee if you can, because it's such a great experience. Manly have got a really good buzz about them, and it's not just Tom Trbojevic. It's guys like Garrick and Tuipulotu and Olakau'atu and Schuster and Lachlan Croker. He's been really reliable. He's back now from a shoulder injury. Newcastle have gone win-loss, win-loss. Hastings and Gamble, they're energetic, but they're like two pit bulls in the house. They're just, they don't know, they don't have an off switch. They've just got, they're on the red line the whole time. Lockie Miller at fullback, I think, has just been a gem.
Yeah, he's
always counting numbers. He always seems to be at the right spot at the right time. I just think guys like Bradman Best and Greg Mars here, they've just got that size and strength, and they're a bit brutish. as opposed to sort of Morgan Harper and Ruben Garrick. But look, Manly are going to keep on building. They've only lost one game by 1 point all year, so it's Eagles for me.
Yeah, both teams are under pressure coming into the start of the season for different reasons. Obviously, Manly decided to change coaches, and a lot of people thought that Anthony Seibold wasn't the guy that should be coach. And there was also some backlash because Des was a favourite son there. But I think that's quietened down, and he's now proving himself to be a really good coach with this group of players, and they're playing particularly good football. The Newcastle Knights under Adam O'Brien, they came into this year with him having to win so many games early in the season. Otherwise, his career was over as the Newcastle Knights coach. But I think they've tried really hard in every game, and they've had to do it under adversity at times. So I've been really impressed with Newcastle. Having said that, I don't think they get the job done against Manly out there playing, what do they call it? Wembley of the West.
It is beautiful.
It is a beautiful stadium. Beautiful stadium.
Would so, Des Kennedy tell you that?
I think Des might. May
we
have
love
done.
Des.
But I just Manly to win.
Pup?
Yeah, Manly for me, buddy.
Dolphins, Dragons, Cogra. 5:30 Saturday, Fox League. Dragons, $1.70. Dolphins, $2.15. 2.5 your line. Dragons, the minus. Sean O'Sullivan out for up to 4 months with a torn pec. How is the household at home with Chris?
Yeah, I
and
left
the Dragons
last
chat
week.
Groups.
Yeah, the WhatsApp, the Red V WhatsApp, it's on fire at the moment. I've tipped the Dragons here. I don't know. I just they're really.
They
I don't
be winning this.
No, I know. Well, look, the depth for the Dolphins is an issue. So no Sean O'Sullivan, still no Felice Kaufusi. They do get Jeremy Marshall King back, who I think on form has been one of the most influential in the Dolphins. But Anthony Milford's done just enough for Wayne to keep him there for another week. And Hamiso Tabuai-Fido's a star, right? So all of that's great. But I think the way the Dragons were put on show so harshly, they were so embarrassed. Ben Hunt came out and said it was just so subpar. No one could put their hand up and say that they tried out there. Their coach is fighting for his longevity. It's all just going so bad for St. George Illawarra. I don't know. I just feel like they... This is an honesty game. They need to get really honest about where they are at. And the excuses run out after this. If they can't win this, because the Dolphins have a lot of outs, it's going to be really tough for the Red V.
I found this the most challenging game to decide on who I like because, you know, the Dragons, I thought, second half were poor last weekend. And the Dolphins, everything they've shown us so far is they've competed. And if the Dragons don't compete as hard as the Dolphins in this contest, they'll get rolled. But I think they've got more point-scoring ability in their side with a couple of outs for the Dolphins. So it being at home at Wollongong, Ben Hunt you know, is putting up a passionate defence of his coach, Anthony Griffin. And I think he's in a mood to you know, try and rally the troops to get them to play well for the coach. And I think if he plays well, they can win. And I've still got my doubts about Milford, whether he could, he's the number seven there to fill in for Sean O'Sullivan. I just don't know whether he can be consistent enough during an 80-minute game to get the Dolphins across the line.
Pup?
Dragons.
Oh, yeah, Dragons.
Had to think about it.
Zero confidence. And yes, yeah. That match is at Wynn Stadium in Wollongong. I think I said Cogger. It's definitely at Wollongong. Brisbane Tigers, this is the... Well, widest market of the week with the Broncos at $1.13, 16.5-point favourites at the line. Tigers, $6. No one thinks the Tigers can win this game. Anyone?
No.
Excuse me?
No, Pup.
Excuse me?
No
how dare you assume?
Well,
have you not learnt this in the past? Is, never assume.
I just want everyone to say no so we can move on because we're running out of time.
Pup, yeah. Seriously though, no. Quick question. When do the West Tigers win a game? Because they've got the Broncos. No, seriously. Yeah. They've got and then round six, they've got the Eels. They've got the bye then, right? So that's
there you go.
Round eight, Manly.
Oh, gosh.
Round nine, Panthers.
Oh,
and then at Magic Round, they've got the Dragons. So
yeah, okay, this is not helping my Thursday, Vonnie, one bit.
Just
like, do you want ribs? Do you want heart? Do you want throat? Where do you want to stab me?
No, I love
we're
the West
in deep
Tigers.
Trouble.
I
we are them. In deep, deep trouble.
We're going to be 0-9.
We'll get the bye.
Round 10, magic round.
We'll get the bye.
You do get the bye.
So go easy. We're off the mark.
Wow.
Bronx, everyone?
That is hectic.
Yep.
Bronx. Okay. Bronx all round. Cronulla $1.26, Warriors $3.90, plus 11.5, the Warriors. And I love what they're doing under Andrew Webster, Bonnie.
Oh, he, and
Sean,
you know what?
Johnson.
Yeah, and he's been able to unlock, you know, some of Sean Johnson's best footy. It's just, I mean, for Andrew Webster, he's calling this Judgment Week, and I love all the words that are coming out of the Warriors now. Judgment Week, even though the New Zealanders have won 3 of their 4 games and Cronulla have only won 2. Andrew Webster, their coach, said that this week decides where the good teams get better and where the so-so teams are still working it out. He thinks week 5 is a bit of a petri dish of where we're at. A bit of a petri dish. See what's growing here. What are we cultivating here? Look, if Nicho Hynes was worth the wait in every regard. The Sharks scored 7 tries last week against the Dragons, and Nicho had a hand or set up 6 of them. So it's one hell of a declaration from the man that we last saw standing on stage with the Dally M medal around his neck. You know my favourite new Twitter account, Rugby League Eye Test? Of course, they had Nicho Hynes as the best player in their player contribution ratings. Absolutely blitzed it. Actually, the Sharks were the top 3 last week. The bottom 3, all Dragons. Zach Lomax, Ravalawa, Ben Hunt. So it just goes to show momentum. What happens inside those 80 minutes really does, you know, in terms of touches and errors and all that sort of stuff. Nicho Hynes was just exceptional. And I think he's it's not just him as a player, it's him as a person as well. He's such an incredible role model. I'm so glad that he is back. Yeah, Sharks.
Yeah, he improves everyone around them. I think it is a big test for the Warriors this weekend. I've been so happy with the way they've performed in the opening month, but I think the Sharks are a very, very good football team and they'll show it again on the weekend.
Yep, Sharks.
Sharks all round. Then we head to the late game on Sunday evening to finish the round, and it is the Dogs, $1.77. Slight favourites against a Cowboys side missing some key players, $2.05. Skinny line, $1.5. Dogs, the minus. And the great Josh Reynolds plays his first match in the NRL since 2020 and his first match for Canterbury since 2017.
Anyway. I'm so happy for Josh. Yeah. It's really good
stuff. Well, I'm not. Do you know why? I've got to go and deliver him his wallet today. Well, he left it here the other day.
Oh, my God.
Like, seriously. Did you go through it?
No, I haven't.
Can I?
Yeah, it's in the car. I'll bring it in.
I'll have a look.
Do you know, I'm so happy for Josh. There's some great things happening for the Bulldogs. Jacob Carraz, if you have a look at the stats, he's first for runs in the competition, first for run meters, averages 216 per game, first for offloads, he averages 4 per game, second for tackle bust, just behind Lockie Miller. Jacob Carraz is doing everything you want from a young winger. And look, I think the Bulldogs are definitely on the up. I've tipped the Cowboys because I think when the points come for the Cowboys, they sort of come in a hurry. And I think if Tommy Dearden sort of takes charge a little bit there, starts poking his nose through, and then that sort of gives Felt and Holmes a little bit more interest. So, yeah, I'm going to go with North Queensland.
Jeez. I haven't been impressed with the Cowboys this year.
No Nenai, no Taulagi.
You know what?
Cotter.
No Cotter.
Yeah. Well, no, I'm going to stick with the Dogs.
Yeah.
I think the Dogs can win.
Whoa. Yeah, I'll go with loss. I'll go Dogs.
Dogs all round. Now, day one of the championships. It wasn't Dogs all round. You tipped the Cowboys.
Oh, it counts, yes.
Cowboys. Day one of the championships, Uncle Laurie's tip.
Yeah.
Is it very important as okay. It is every week?
They're listening.
You've just put a box around about 6 lines of mail.
Doncaster Mile, race 8, number 13, the Golden Mile, unbeaten over a mile.
He tipped this Golden Mile
last time, didn't he? Yes, tough prep against some really good company. Mm-hmm. He's got 51 kilos on board, which, as Uncle Laurie describes, is luxurious.
All right,
Golden
there we go.
Mile.
Golden Mile in the Doncaster for Uncle Laurie, which is paying, as it stands, $16 to win, $5 the place. Good luck to the Uncle Laurie backers and have
luxurious.
A great weekend.
Thank you, boys.